BroadwayEducators.com was developed to help teachers, students, families, and other groups connect with the theatrical experience in many different ways and on many levels. So when the musical Annie opened on Broadway, a show set in a particular time and place in American history, the site provided some background on the roots of the story, explaining, Annie is a Broadway musical based upon the newspaper strip Little Orphan Annie, created by Harold Gray in 1924. The plot of the comic strip follows the adventures of Annie, her dog Sandy, and her supporter, Oliver Daddy Warbucks. The comic appealed to adults with political commentary directed towards organized labor, the New Deal, communism, and unethical businessmen. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was elected president in November 1932, and he proposed his New Deal, which many people, including Gray, considered to be government interference in private business. Gray even exterminated Warbucks in 1945 because he did not think Warbucks could survive in the world with FDR. Gray brought Warbucks back to life, though, after FDR passed away. As a result, Annie's life became obscured by criminals, along with New Deal altruists and officials. Gray had also begun to delve into the shadier characteristics of human nature, greed and deceit, and the gap between rich and poor was a primary theme. Decades later, the musical, with music by Charles Strauss, lyrics by Martin Charnon, and book by Thomas Meehan, is set in the time of the Great Depression in New York City, when Gray originally wrote the strip, but it drifts away from political views. Although the two stories differ quite a bit, the character of Annie has always been sympathetic and optimistic. In both the comic strip and the book of the musical, she can stand up to bullies and possesses a strong and natural sense of justice. Although the musical is not centered on politics and focuses more on Annie's search for her parents, the supporting characters and the ensemble still portray the attitude of the period that Gray illustrated in his comic strip. Annie has a burning desire to escape the orphanage and search for her parents. When she finally does escape, she ends up in Hooverville, a slummy town constructed by people devastated by the stock market crash. This theme of civilians finding themselves suddenly at rock bottom is one with which most generations can identify. Consider today, many people are still suffering in this way. In the song We'd Like to Thank You, Herbert Hoover, the audience can sense a great deal of anger and restlessness in these suffering characters. It is also simple to see how this sudden loss of hope can bring out the darker sides of human beings. In the musical, the characters of Rooster and Lily, who kidnap Annie so they can obtain the cash award, are not at the bottom, but they certainly are not at the top. Just as Gray explored the selfish and devious sides of human nature in his comic, Meehan's book uses Rooster and Lily to symbolize these faults. We can also see the gap between the rich and the poor that Gray exemplified in his comic through the contrast between Oliver Warbucks and the rest of the cast. Having and holding hope and optimism through life's journey, no matter what the circumstances, is what Annie is all about and what the character of Annie symbolizes. Look at Warbucks' life before Annie came along. He was a grumpy, bad-tempered fellow, and she arrives eventually, and he becomes filled with joy. Also, the popular theme song of the musical, Tomorrow, is sung by Annie numerous times in the musical for a reason. It's what the musical is about. These lyrics can even motivate the president to get moving on the economy. Annie also possesses an enormous amount of optimism while she waits for her parents. Even when she was in the brutal orphanage, she was exceptionally hopeful. Despite the fact that she was raised in a home for unwanted girls, she possesses important attributes, including common sense and the ability to determine right from wrong. In this way, she symbolizes justice. That from Laura Cole of the Broadway Educators site. Cole makes sure that she fully acknowledges Annie's hope and optimism, but also makes sure that we recognize Annie's ability to stand up to bullies and her strong and natural sense of justice, of what is right and what is wrong. Hamilton Gibson Productions in Tioga County is presenting the musical Annie in the Strawn Auditorium at Commonwealth University Mansfield for 5 performances, opening this Thursday. We had a chance to speak by phone with director Jesse Thompson, who was packing up scenery and costumes to head from their home base in Wellsboro, where they've been rehearsing, to Mansfield for tech run-throughs and the shows. We began by asking about Jesse's first encounter with the musical.
It was on the screen, so it was the Carol Burnett version. And then I also had the album as a kid growing up, so I would listen to that in my room. I had this little, portable record player, and I would kind of sing through the whole thing up in my bedroom because I was about Annie's age when it came out on Broadway. So it sort of meant a lot to me to have that show about all these little girls. I really got excited about it.
How did Annie become part of the schedule this year?
Well, Hamilton Gibson has an artistic planning committee, so the year before every season, a group of people sit down and discuss, what kinds of things we want to do. Everybody reads scripts and comes in and gives their feedback about them. And HG has done Annie before, and that was kind of before my time with them. But I think it's just one of those classics where, we'll probably do it again someday because it's well-loved. But also I had heard there was just a little bit of the use of a couple of the songs from the show in recent kind of national advertisements. I remember seeing an ad for young kind of early teens, and it was talking about how young girls in sports, once they get to 13, 14, they drop out of sports because of body consciousness. And it was sort of promoting teen girls participating in sports and kind of overcoming this body consciousness. And the theme song for this ad, which I believe played during the Super Bowl, was the song Hard Knock Life from Annie. So that kind of just triggered in me an awareness of, then I started hearing that song being used. I think other people picked up on it from that Super Bowl ad, and I just keep kind of catching clips of it being used in other things in media. So there just seemed to be a little bit more, like a little bit of a resurgence for it.
We understand that your vision for the musical is not just if we picked up the newspaper and turned the pages to the comics. You're hoping to have a little bit more depth and dimension to these characters.
Sure. I mean, that's something I always try to do when I direct a play. And I watched a lot of different versions of Annie before we started. And I think the character of Annie is always described as, she's always positive and sort of perky and resilient. And it's all these kind of positive things about her strength and her ability to cope and her ability to stay tearful despite all the hardships. And, I think that's just one of the things that that character can do, is to kind of cope with difficult things and turn it into something positive and continue to go on despite her challenges. But, there's a whole other side to that coin, and I'm hoping that we've done enough to show the real difficulties of what it was like to be, an orphan during that period of time, that we just kind of bring all of those ideas sort of back down to the ground. And there's a couple scenes that take place in the Hooverville, sort of the homeless shanty town in the show. And I've done my best to develop the relationships. I talked a lot with the young actress, Sylvia Duterte, who's playing Annie, about, what it really would have been like, rather than just kind of smiling and being perky through this whole thing. Let's get real about what's really going on for this little girl, how high the stakes are that she wants to find her real parents, and how high the stakes are if she has to end up staying in this orphanage instead, where the kids are not treated well. There are some heavy topics in the show. There's child abuse in the show and things like that, and homelessness and lots of politics. We're all talking about politics a lot these days, and so that's in the show. And I didn't want it to be like the rich guy saves the day. I wanted to show other colors. I think that the character of Oliver Warbucks is really well written, but if you just kind of play what's on the surface, what's on the page, and you don't think a little bit more deeply into filling out the relationships like the one he has with his assistant / potential romantic interest, you know, if you don't fill out all those little moments, what's going on sort of underneath the dialogue, then I think it does come out as he's just the rich guy capitalist who saves the day. So we've really worked hard to try and fill in what's at stake for everybody. And that's just the phrase I use a lot. There has to be conflict there, right? Otherwise, it's not something we do on the stage. So in each moment and in each exchange of dialogue, there's a conflict. We all have our own agenda. We all want something out of the conversation. So we really try and get detailed about each little moment, each little moment of dialogue, and what the character wants to get out of that moment and what the stakes are, how high the stakes are for that character in that moment.
How do we encounter, what are the dimensions we meet in Miss Hannigan?
Miss Hannigan, yeah, that's another one that when I kind of looked around, you know, watched different versions of the show, I think it's easy to sort of just slip into she's kind of mean and grumpy and has a drinking problem. I think it's the same questions I ask of her. The stakes are high because this is the only job you can get during this time period. And, you know, she's an alcoholic, so she's taking care of young children. And she's about to get in trouble. There's a couple instances where, you know, she's about to get caught or about to get in trouble by the board. So she's also, we decided, like a pretty well-formed narcissist. So she uses all the kind of the traditional tactics to get what she wants. And I asked Lilith, I said, just make sure you know, like each time you go in for some kind of manipulation, if you can figure out which of the traditional tactics of narcissism you're using. So those are some things we talked about. So the different ways she manipulates, the different ways she treats the children, you know, testing loyalty, needing to be the center of attention. I'm trying to get Lilith to also play up the, I don't know if romance is the right word for it, but Hannigan kind of using her sexuality, like she kind of hits on the laundryman and then she hits on Oliver Warbucks, and she's always trying to kind of worm her way into people's lives that way through those kinds of tactics, flirtation and stuff like that. So she's really living sort of desperately and on the edge. And I'm hoping that comes across, that she's not just kind of mean and bossy, you know, this kind of grumpy matron, but she's this really complicated woman who's got some serious problems and some really, really tricky personality traits. And she's pretty masterful at manipulating people and trying to get what she wants.
What about the scenic design and the costumes? We often think of Annie in that collar and dress and so forth.
Yeah, so there is a red dress, and we're still trying to figure out if we're going to use it in the traditional places always used or maybe use it somewhere else. We actually haven't finalized that. But we're not doing like the red wig and the bald Warbucks thing. We're not trying to have the folks in the cast look like the people in the cartoon strip. So everyone's got their own hair, maybe except for Lilith as Hannigan. she's got a fun wig. But those two characters anyway, Oliver Warbucks and Annie, are just doing as themselves in terms of their look. And I'm happy with that decision. We've had a huge collaboration on the set. We have 3 or 4 people helping us build different parts of the set. We have 2 different artists painting different parts of the set, and another set decorator who will be helping decorate and paint mostly in the Warbucks Mansion. So it's been a huge collaboration as far as the tech and the set building. So I've been really, really lucky to work with some great people on that and have had some tremendous help in that regard. And today's the day where we're loading it all up into our trucks and taking it over to Mansfield, the Strong Theater in Mansfield.
Just tell us the particulars as you prepare to load the truck and head 12 or so miles to Mansfield.
So we are doing these performances July 10th, 11th, and 12th at 7:30 p.m. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. And then on Saturday the 12th and on Sunday the 13th, we have the 2:30 p.m. matinee shows. So you've got five chances to come and see it, but they're all within that one weekend.
Jesse Thompson, director, speaking about the musical Annie, and score by Charles Strauss, lyrics by Martin Charnin, and book by Thomas Meehan. The production will be presented at Commonwealth University Mansfield in the Strong Auditorium, 35 Strong Drive in Mansfield. It opens this Thursday, July 10th, and runs through Sunday the 13th. There are shows Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings at 7:30. And then Saturday and Sunday, there are also matinees. So Saturday at 2:30, and then again Saturday evening at 7:30, and a Sunday matinee at 2:30. For more information, on the web, hamiltongibson.org, hamiltongibson.org. Directed by Jesse Thompson, musical direction by Thomas Putnam, choreography by Taylor Nickerson. Annie. And it's the Hamilton Gibson Productions show, and it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday evenings at 7:30, and there are matinees on Saturday and Sunday at 2:30 at Strawn Auditorium at Commonwealth University, Mansfield. HamiltonGibson.org.